Welcome back to another episode of the Three Part Schmucks.
Redemption round two. Today we'll find out if the Springs beat us or if we beat the Springs. Let's get into it. We are back. Episode number 25. How does
That's
it feel?
That's a crazy thought, hey? 25 episodes, mate. Well done.
Yeah, I'm really proud of us. Well done. I think we've done a lot and we've come quite a long way to get to where we are now. And yeah, I'm just really keen for the next 25.
Yeah, absolutely. I think today is a great opportunity for us to reflect, given that it is the redemption round of the Springs at Peach Ridge, which is where it kind of all started for us.
Correct. Yeah, that was the first place we played as Three Part Schmucks. That was the first time we went. I feel like we hadn't really played golf together much before that, like in regards to like maybe the previous couple of years. Like we'd only played a couple of times, I reckon.
Yeah. We hadn't played together properly. We'd just gone for hacks. But I think it's like what you were saying the other day, going back through videos from 6 months ago and just being like, what on earth were we doing? Yeah. Like the swings look so horrible.
They do, yeah. It's a bit of a funny feeling because I was trying to reflect on the first time I went round at the Springs at Pete's Ridge and compared to when we played last weekend. And I'm struggling to feel or see the improvements. I've got some things that I want to delve into and some positives and some negatives. But yeah, like what we've been going for 6 months, and yeah, it's been a very up and down journey because what we're realistically trying to do is really to break 100 and break 90, and everything in between really is a bonus.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I've come to grips with is you can have these little goals and these little achievements, and it's like what Josh said in the last episode. It's like no matter where you get to, and I know I'm like this, I'll never be satisfied. Like even if I played around and I hit 80, I'd be like, oh, I could have done a little bit better here and there, and I'll always be critiquing myself no matter what. So I think it's just the consistency and the overall improvement. Like I was looking the other day, my last 7 rounds have been between 100 and 105. So I'm consistently a lot better than I was 6 months ago.
Yeah,
I've kind of just given away that who beat who there. But anyway.
The whole thing. The whole episode's done.
The whole purpose of the episode, I've just given the bloody result away. Shit.
It's done.
Yeah. It's been a few weeks, mate. I'm a bit shaky.
Yeah, look. So yeah, we didn't record last week. And we're back this week. But yeah, look, I think one of the things is with this journey that we're on, how we have this goal. Like you said, I feel like, okay, like I've broken 100 like once or twice and it was like a 99 and whatever, 94. But it's like once you've done it, it doesn't really mean much. I think the important part is what's in the middle, like the systems that you have and the systems that you work on to improve. And instead of being like, okay, because it's a either or really, like either you achieve the goal and you're happy or you don't achieve the goal and you're unhappy. So it's like, what can you just do in between that? So you just create the systems, because the systems are what's going to get you to achieve that. And I think that's the most important thing to focus on.
Yeah, definitely. It's something as well I think we need to look into, and it's issues I've had with getting really attached to the score. And there may be a better way for us to measure, I can't even speak, geez, a better way for us to measure consistency. Like, if consistency is the goal, consistency and improvement, the grint tells us what our handicap is. And I think that's going to be a better metric for us to look at. Like,
yeah.
When we first started using it, I entered a few scores. It was like the handicap was, I think, mid-30s. It was like 34, 35.
Yeah.
And I think it's down at the moment. It's like 27-1.
Yeah.
But I still got a couple of those high scores, I think, still kind of holding me up a bit.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So my net scores, like when the handicap's being applied on the course, I'm shooting par most rounds as a net.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm being consistent. I can't argue with that.
Mm.
So it's fluctuating nowhere near as much as it used to.
Yeah, I think that definitely shows where the improvements have come from, like creating a little bit more consistent golf, and not, you know, going out there and shooting 120 and then shooting 100 the next weekend. Like, how can you measure where you're at with those kind of scores? So if you're consistently, you know, between, if you're shooting like between 5 different strokes every round, then you can see that you're definitely becoming more consistent, which is a positive at the end of the day.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, I was looking at this the other day, right? That's what I just mentioned earlier. So I didn't get it right. It wasn't my last 7 rounds. It's, if you take the horizons out of it and the Nelson Bay weekend, because I wasn't in great shape there, it's yeah, it's been between 100 and 105 for like 2 months at home. And my 9 hole rounds, this is where it's grinding me that I can't break 100. Because in my last, hang on, I've got to count these. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 9-hole rounds, I've gone over 50 once and it was a 51. So it's like, why can't I just string 2 of those together and get
this just linking
fucking monkey off my back?
Yeah. It's just linking them, isn't it?
See, I'm getting wound up about it, or I'm just sitting in my bloody study and I'm getting all jacked up about
it. Yeah, see, but that's the thing though. Like, we're not even out playing golf and it's affecting you. And then when we get out there, you're not even looking at your score, but I know it's affecting you.
Yeah, but I feel the consistency and I feel the shifts in the way I'm playing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to jump into the weekend immediately now, because this is where I want to get into that. So I started off with my first 5 holes. I went double, single, double, par, bogey. So like for you and I, that's acceptable golf. We'll take that.
Yep.
Then for some reason on 6, I got an 8. So a blowout. I think I put it in the, that's that one that goes around to the right, isn't it? I hit my 4-iron short and then I played a short chip. And then I fatted something out of bounds. I had to take a drop. Like, I just had a shit run there.
Yeah.
Ended up with an 8. I was like, oh, that's cool. I can bring it back. I can bring it back. Walk up to the next tee. Just snap hook into the bushes. One thing I will say, I had the locals bounce on that day.
Yeah, for sure.
If there was a lucky bounce to get, I was getting it every time. I don't know how or why, but it's like I feel like if you're going to take the bad ones on the bad days, you take the good ones on the good days.
Yeah.
And that was testament. So on the 7th, I snap hooked into the trees, got a good bounce straight out into the middle. On 8, I put it onto the wrong fairway. I then go to play a 9-iron up toward the green, hit the tree that's like almost right in front of me. Somehow it goes on the green. I'm like walking around everywhere looking for my ball. And it's just hanging out on the green.
James says it's up here on the green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, how did it get there? I had no idea where it went. And then on the ninth, like I had to take two drops. Like I went into the water off the tee and then went over the back and lost another ball, ended up with a nine. And I was like, it was just, I don't know what happened in that stretch, but it was just consistently garbage for four holes.
Mm.
Like I got a lucky bogey on eight. So that's where, and I wasn't going to look at the scores, right? But I got there and I'm like, I need to know. Like, I just need to have a look here. What's the damage? Like, what damage have I done there? And how can I move on from that?
Because
I'm getting these good runs, like 1 through 5, had a good run. But then 6 through 9.
Not good.
Like, something just went wrong.
Something went wrong. Yeah, so you shot a 55 around the front. Those scores you said before where you've only gone over 50 once in your last nine whole games, were they all you playing by yourself or with like one other person?
Yeah.
Something I wanted to touch on. I don't know if it's just me or it could be you as well, but I find that when I play with a large group, I tend to stop thinking and I tend to rush more and I tend to just lose my way more. But if I'm out playing by myself, I feel like I'm a 10 times better golfer because there's less distractions, more time for me to think. And it shouldn't really be, there shouldn't really be an issue. Like I should be able to go, okay, if I'm with the group or if I'm by myself, I should be playing the same type of golf. But I feel like the last three times I've played it with large groups, I've just shanked it and I've just had a terrible day. But when I'm by myself, I just play a lot better golf. Do you find that happens to you at all?
Only if people get in my ear. Which like I'm going to throw Raynell straight under the bus here.
Wasn't that on the third? That's when it started.
That was on the third. No, it was a few holes before that. I brought it back. I got a double there though. That's his fault. And like just in my ear, like why aren't you playing? Why'd you go to Tim's ball first? Why aren't you playing yours? And I'm like, buddy, shut up. Leave me alone. And then I got the shits and I hit a bad shot. And I was like, that's your fault, pal. Go on your bike.
He's listening.
I was off him for all of 3 seconds. Yeah, good. Shout out to him.
Send us a text when you hear this, pal.
Yeah.
We need to talk.
Yeah, it'll be a phone call. Don't you worry. We'll get a conference call on WhatsApp.
Straight away, he's pressing pause and he's calling you straight away. He's going to send you flowers.
He won't. Yeah, because you... Sorry, back on topic.
Yeah.
You got in your head quick.
Real quick.
And I was sitting in the cart with you going like, holy shit, he's gone. Or he's going. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to critique his swing. I don't want to give him kind of any like technical advice here because that's not going to do anything. Nor should I. It's like, how can I try and bring you out of it? And then it was like,
see,
your alignment was a little bit off. And I was like telling you to Medvedev and yeah.
Yeah.
Something was happening. You were the old Tim on the front nine.
For sure. Yeah. It's like and
you
I went felt it.
Back to your alter ego for a little while.
Yeah. Which is interesting because when I'm looking back at the videos that we had from that front nine compared to videos I got of myself at the driving range, they're entirely different. Entirely different swings and setup and everything. I feel like, my head wasn't there whatsoever on that front nine. Which is really interesting. because this is one of the things I wanted to talk about, because I had a terrible front nine, like really bad, and then pulled it back and shot 10 strokes less on the back nine, which I feel like I'm actually pretty happy with myself because I didn't let the rot continue. And to be able to sort of go, I feel like if we're doing a reflection of the three putch marks and the last 6 months, I'm looking at the springs here. Like, yeah, it wasn't a great game of golf, but I went 59 around the front and 49 around the back. For me, that feels like my biggest improvement in the fact that I can pull myself away from the rot and go back to playing golf and being in a better mindset and play a better back nine.
Yeah, for sure. Your back nine, I'm looking at that now, is sensational. Like, no triples, a few doubles, but, you know, it's us.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. There's
there's
that snap that, like, where the old us would have just been gone and we would have just been like, oh, well, the whole day's done. I'm just going to take all these dumb risks and make dumb decisions. And where it's like, hang on, no, all right, let's rein this back in. Like, what if I shot a 40 here? Yeah. And we had that conversation, hey? Like, we both looked at it. We were like, are we capable of getting between 40 and 45 around the back?
For sure.
If we have a blinder and have a good run and make some good decisions here, it's possible. It's not
anything.
And I think that's the difference, right? We also now know it's that book I've started reading. I've forgotten the name of it. I think it's The Four Foundations of Golf. Sorry if I've got that wrong. But
yep.
It talks about your attitude and your outlook on the ability versus outcome. And if that's on like a matrix. So 6 months ago, like I said to you yesterday, that first reel we have on the Three Putch Schmucks account on Instagram, if you're listening, go search for it. I'm this deranged lunatic who thinks he's going to get like a 95 and goes, oh, it'll be a bad day. I'll get a 102. Like the outcome expectation versus what we're actually capable of was just like worlds apart. Where now we've aligned ourselves with, I'm capable of X and I know I can do that. So that's my goal, is be that. Which might not necessarily be the best score ever, but be behaving in a certain way, be turning up to the holes and making decisions in a certain way. And we catch ourselves going, I'm not being that person right now and I need to sharpen up here. Because I'm capable of a better outcome, but I'm not approaching it in the right way to get there. So,
for sure.
Saying that, we're also not showing up to the course going like, I'm going to shoot 91 today and then getting pissed off when it doesn't happen.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that we sort of had, because we had that chat at the turn. We're like, okay, what do we need to do here? What's gone wrong? How can we approach this back nine? But I feel like we had that chat before we even started playing. So it takes you nine holes to sort of determine where you're at. I know that sort of sounds pretty self-explanatory and everything, but I feel like because we've had that chat twice now. We had that at Horizons with James, where we had a bad front nine, and then we sort of said, okay, what do we need to do? Where are we at? How can we improve? And then we all three of us went and had a blinder back nine at Horizons as well. And so we've done the same thing here again.
Yeah.
So we've said.
But that's where I think the difference between you and I here was your bad run started on the first hole.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like you got in your own way immediately, where I had a good first five holes and I was on. And it was happening. And still on the six where I got that eight, I still made a good decision. I was like, I'm going to play my four iron here. I can't go long enough to hit the water. If I pull it a bit to the left, I'll still be safe. I'll probably be short. And I just miss hit short. So I was still trying to make good decisions. And then I played a little pitch And then I mishit again and had to take a drop, and then a few things happened. Yeah. Ended up with an 8. And you know what? In that situation, 3 of those shots were bad. 1 of them was a penalty. So you've just got to cop that and move on. And I probably then walked up to the next tee going like, okay, cool. All right, I can move on from that. I'm just going to rip the driver, and then I've just pulled it too hard and hooked it into the trees. So I've lost my way a little bit there.
Hmm.
But we had a little chat. I got lucky it was only 4 holes, not 9, like you had, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... I think we're setting ourselves up to succeed. It's just that when we end up jumping into these little predicaments of I'm having a bad run here, or I've made some bad decisions, we say like, oh, you just got to take it one shot at a time and you got to snap out of it, but we're not there yet. Yeah. It might take us half an hour.
Yeah, I think it also just shows, like, for me and my opinion, it also just shows, like, my level of golf is just not at a level where I can expect to do something. I don't know. I'm not getting this across better. I feel like we've only properly been playing golf full time for the last 6 months. And like what you were saying earlier, I feel like my expectations are higher than where they sort of should be at the moment, if that makes any sense. And when I'm rocking up to play golf. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I've brought this up previously. I feel like Emerald Downs could be the cause of that.
Hmm.
Because I think you're setting your benchmark at a place where you don't get punished as hard. And then you show up to somewhere like Horizons or the Springs where it's like you can't make mistakes in certain areas.
Hmm.
And you're used to being able to get away with it and you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's where, because James and I were talking about this the other week just on the phone, about how Gosford is a short, relatively easy course, but there's like really complicated hazards at really difficult lengths. So it forces you to think differently.
Yeah.
You can't just pull the driver out on every par 4 or par 5.
Yeah.
Like where holes like the 10th at Emerald Downs is it? Having all that open space where it's like, I can go very wrong here and I'm fine.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you're on a more difficult course, is that actually an 8, not a 5 or a 6?
Yeah, for sure.
And is that just the gap for you?
I think that's where I'm being found out, for sure.
Yeah, but, like the course isn't putting you in a position where you get rattled enough to be able to snap yourself out of being rattled.
Yeah. I think, but at the end of the day, like, all golf courses have fairways. And the main thing that I want to try and do is just find the fairway and not get myself in these predicaments. I know that predicaments are going to happen. I'm going to get in trouble whenever I play golf, but I want to just try and just find the fairway on my shots. And that's something that didn't happen at all. The Springs. I found barely any fairways off the tee. And so something I was talking about with my instructor who I see quite often. I see him at the gym now. He trains at the gym. And I was telling him about the Springs and how I play. And he goes, you just need to get to the driving range and work on finding yourself a fairway finder shot. And that's a shot that you know that you can pull out, and it doesn't need to be like a driver or like, you know, you don't need to hit it as hard as possible. Just find something that you know is just going to find the fairway. And that's something that didn't happen for me at all at the Springs, and that's how I got punished because I didn't have that. I didn't know what that would feel like. Anyway, going a bit off track, but
yeah. Back into the back nine though, right? So we did turn it around because you finished the back with a 49. I finished the back with a 47.
Yeah.
I honestly think that because I think I made a silly decision leading up to this game and I removed my 3 hybrid from my bag, and I put in the 2 iron, thinking I could hit the thing, because I was having a pretty fair crack with it. But it's just in a pressure situation where I have to hit the thing well, it's not the right club. So there was like the 11th, the par 5 there. That was my drive of the day, that nice big fade straight down to the middle of the fairway, probably hit it, I don't know, 260, 270. Great tee shot. I was 200 out from the green on a par 5. If I'd had that 3 hybrid, I pulled out the 2 on. I was like, got a wide open straight fairway. Let's have a go here. Had I had the 3 hybrid, I reckon there's like a 60%. It's probably like 5 or 6 times more likely that I'm going to hit that club than the 2 iron will. And then what happens? But I didn't. I ended up shaking it into the trees and then playing another one and then another one. And then I was a little bit rattled. So it's, the way I felt going around that back nine, because I haven't said it to you, like I'm close here. I'm going to be right on the mark. I might be under, I might be over, I might be dead on 100.
Yeah.
But had I not had those two situations where I had to pull out the 2 iron because I didn't have my comfortable 200 meter club, that was what the difference was for me on the day. So yeah. I ended up with a 102, which is still my best score I've ever had at that course.
Yeah.
So I'm quite happy with that. And you ended up with a 108 after getting a 59er in the front.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. So
to go from being on track to shooting 118 to getting a 108, like that is a great turnaround for you.
Yeah, that's definitely a positive takeaway. I think the back nine for both of us definitely is more relatable to where we're at as golf players at this current stage. Like
that for sure.
That looks like more about where we're at.
Yeah, definitely.
And
I think it's like, yeah, it's like, little bits of data. This is where I love the grin, right?
Yeah.
The front nine, I hit 2 out of 7 fairways. On the back nine, I hit 4 out of 7. 33% of greens in reg. On the front, it was 11. It's just all around better golf.
All around better golf. But you know what, Tom, though? Like, I shoot between a 45 and a 50 round 9 at Emerald Downs. And I do the same thing here at the Springs. So I honestly feel like there's just other situations at play here with me, with that front nine. And I think, like, I know I have that ability, but I don't know what happens to me. I feel like I thought about that first hole with all the boys for so long. Like at least a week or 2 weeks before we played, like how do I want the first hole to look? And I was trying to like manifest like just a really good first hole. And I go and triple bogey it. And then,
yeah,
I just put so much pressure on myself. And I just want to, because I've had those days out with the guys where I just like butcher the whole day and I'm the worst person to be with. And I think I just put so much on me just to try and not be like that. And then I go and reward myself with a triple bogey on the first. Like, and that's what happened at Horizons. Like those first two holes, I went like triple. I'm like, if I went back and replayed these holes, that wouldn't happen. So
is this a process situation? Because there was something I noticed that you were doing around the front that I was like, every part of me was like telling, just say it, but I couldn't. Your alignment and where the ball was positioned in relation to you and the way your body was facing and the way you'd like get in front of the ball and you'd like shuffle around to the right or the left. It was always just a little bit off or different, or like you just didn't seem to look comfortable over the ball.
Yeah.
It just looked like a little gap.
I just don't have
it, dude.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Look, I'll just continue with that because I feel like that whole front nine, I didn't have a process. I didn't have the thoughts. And like there were those situations where I think it was the par three when I was going first and everyone was standing behind me. And you said, take a Medvedev, which means to step back and have a look at what you're about to do or look at where your alignment's at. And so I stepped back. And then James and Rowie and a couple other, I can't remember who else, maybe you, were telling me what I should do with my alignment. And yeah, I just had no process on that front nine. And I had no thoughts on how I should be over the ball. And then I remember on the back nine, I started thinking about, okay, what has my coach told me? What has everyone told me that I've had lessons with before? And try and get those swing thoughts back into my game. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I would turn up fresh as a daisy, having had a lesson that week, and then not to apply any of it. It's weird.
But that's where I don't think you weren't applying it. I just think there might be like reverse engineering your swing, because like from what we've been talking about, you're working on your swing, not necessarily where you start. And that was a big thing for me during that fitting, was the way I was just presenting myself to the ball was off. So it's like, let's start from the first point. And that's where I could see you, and Josh mentioned it, like you were standing too close to the ball. And then yeah. I think that was causing you to come into it and kind of tucking yourself up, and then you kept pushing him to the right. And it was like, even then you were pushing him to the right. Cool, you're pushing to the right, but then you weren't giving yourself space to go wrong to the right.
Yeah, 100%. So it's
just, yeah. I think you need to give yourself an alignment thought.
That's, for me, as you know, and as everyone else knows, that's the hardest part. I just can't get my head around it for some reason. I feel like I need to, yeah, it's like when everyone gives me like their ways of doing it, and then I look at how I do it, I just feel like it just feels weird. If anyone has some good alignment videos or tips or anything, let me know, because I need some serious work on that.
I think it's from what I learned about it when I had that fitting, and that's kind of when I got taught about it. The way I was approaching the ball was like really calm and together. So then when I'd swing, my left arm essentially would get longer, which is then it would cause me to tuck up and like come through it weird. So now for me, it's like I sit the club on the ground between me and the ball, and then I lift it up and I hover it over the ball.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that's just my gauge. I know now that when I swing through and I swing through hard, my arm's going to stretch out longer, and generally I flush it, and I've stopped topping the ball because I'm stopped trying to like clamp myself up to keep the club off the ground. So it's like, I think it's going to be different for everybody, obviously, but
yeah,
I think it's just finding that one thing for you where you go like, am I the right distance away from this ball? How do I check that? And for me, it's cool. I just drop the club down in front of the, like between me and the ball. Cool. Hover it up over the front, and then I check where my shoulders are, and I know I'm lined up to at least go in roughly the right direction. I'm just pulling them to the left at the moment. I've got to fix that. But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. After the weekend, to answer the question that we asked everybody in our intro, I think we're at a stalemate with the springs. I think the springs won the front nine, we won the back nine.
Yeah.
So it's a dead heat.
Yeah.
Except it beat us the first time we went.
Yeah, definitely beat us. I was going to put it this way. What's one really big positive you can take away from the springs, and what's one big work on that you want to apply to it?
My big takeaway is with equipment. And that is that I'm very certain on my 200-meter club now. and I've started to hit the 3-wood very well. Not very well, but as good as the driver, if not better. So from 200 meters plus, I'm slowly getting more and more comfortable, and that's where I feel like a lot of improvement will come. So that's my big takeaway, is like I'm very clear, like I want those clubs for these distances, and that's bringing me a lot of certainty. So I want to work on that. What was the other question?
Your biggest positive or the biggest work on that you want to, the biggest work on from the game.
My like 10 to 50 meters and in, I really need to work on my short game.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm pretty comfy from like 70 out, but I get that 70 in and I've just like, it's an awkward length for me. And that's where I could get some real gains, where it's like I'm next to the green and I'm fatting chips 5 meters. It's like that should be one shot, not two. And sometimes it turns to three, and it's
That's like
sharpen that shit up. There's 5-6 strokes a game,
mate. Huge.
Yeah, so I think I'm getting comfortable with my longer clubs, and I need to sharpen up my shorter clubs. I think that's the deal. And I've put an extra wedge back in the bag for that reason, because I know I took it out to like try to remove choice, but maybe that was the wrong decision. So I've gone back to 4 wedges. I've just got the 3 hybrid and then straight to a 4-iron. I'm not carrying an extra iron up high anymore. I've just like, I'm very clear. Like I want that club for that length, which is like, as well, it's a bit of trial and error. Do I want the matching 3-iron to the rest of my irons, or do I want to have this like rogue hybrid? Like, I guess you got to figure that stuff out as you go.
Yeah, you got to play it around for sure.
Yeah. But we'll see. I think it's, we'll talk about it more probably in our like, end of year wrap up, because we want to do a big kind of comparison / journey review for our first season. Are we calling it season?
First season. We're wrapping it up. Wrapping up our first season very very soon. Where are we at? The 4th of December. Not a bad first season, hey?
We've done well.
One of the things I wanted to touch on with the springs, I wanted to touch on was my putting. I was really happy with my putting. I only had two 3-putts the whole game. No 1-putts, unfortunately. But I had, just the 1 3-putt on the front nine and the one 3-putt on the back nine. So that was a good positive for me on that front at the springs. And then a work on is alignment and my processes earlier in the game, or early in the game, not having to rely on a reset for the back nine.
Yeah, for sure. So here's a little bit of data from the data guy. So
hit
the
me
average plus 25 handicap golfer, which is us, should average just under 39 putts per round. So that would mean anything like 38 or less, we've had a good day on the putting, right? You had 38. I had 40.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's a little schmuck KPI, hey?
James had 27.
Speaking of schmuck KPIs, Timbo, the prick.
Hey, shout out to him, though. He shot an 87. He had a good game.
Yeah, he had a great day.
Jeez, he can hit a ball.
He really lived up to that that mate who outdrives you. When he nearly drove the green on that par 4.
Yeah, I feel like he was just taking the piss out of all of us towards the end. He's like, should I do it? And then just does it.
Boom. Off he goes.
Were you going to give us some data then, or were you, what were you saying?
No, I was talking about the putts. I was talking, no, yeah. My keyboard's not connected. I couldn't be bothered doing the schmuck KPI, so I'll fill it up later. Okay,
sure.
yeah, right. No, I was just talking about the putting. I think that's a good one to look at because, sure. You know, if 40 of my strokes in 102 score were putts, and had I sharpened up and only had 36, I got a 98. So it's, they're going to be my big work-ons, I think, for the next month or so. I was 50 meters in. And I'm going to do a lot of that at the golf club because I can go down and use the chipping green and stuff like that. So I'll just do that. I've just chucked a set of golf clothes and my clubs in the car so I can just swing past the club on the way in from work and just go chip for an hour.
Yep.
And then when I go to the range, I'll just work on those 200-plus meter clubs mostly. A couple of mid irons in there every now and then, but I'll probably only do that every probably 2-3 weeks. I think it's going to focus on those short ones because I think that's where I can make up five, maybe more in a round, and that'll make the difference for me. So, yeah, I don't feel beaten, I don't feel deflated by that 102. At the time, I did, I was like, shit, that front nine really let me down, and it did. There was that four hole stint that let me down, and that's part of the learning. At least it wasn't 12 holes letting me down this time. So still an improvement.
Yeah, that's the improvement.
We'll cop that.
We'll cop it every day of the week. We have to get out and play before the end of the year. I feel like if we get out and play Tool Woods and then we can wrap up the first season of the three putt schmucks after that game.
With redemption round three.
Three.
Well, that would be our third redemption round because the first one was Horizons. Gotcha. The second one is this one. Copy. You're all over
Copy.
It now.
All over it. And and try not play the last three holes in the dark would be set.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not tee off at 1:30 in winter. And then we'll start making some plans for next year and we'll probably have a chat about that in our season finale episode because I'm going to Vanuatu in July.
Huge.
So I need to do some research on what I can do there. And
he's going to play some tropical golf, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hell yes. There's the longest day that we're going to probably tee up to do in November, December next year. And we'll probably set up some fundraising for that as well, which will be good fun.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a few little ideas on the cards that we'll put together formally to have a yarn about.
Yeah, we definitely have some little things ahead of us that we're keen to develop and push out there in the 2024 golf season, season two of the Three Putt Schmucks.
There we go.
There you go. Hey, Tom. That was good. That was good to dissect the springs.
Absolutely.
To lay it all out there. Absolutely.
Yep. Shout out to Woozy for getting a win last week.
Isn't he just on fire?
He's our guy.
He's the guy. 2024 episode 3900. The Woozer joins Three Putt Schmucks.
See you later.
Good night. Good night.